Turn your Bibles with me to the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians and the first chapter. I'm going to read verses 3 through 11 once again. And we're going to focus on verse 9 today and title our message, To Make Us Rely on God. Why was Paul suffering like this? Why did we suffer like this? To make us humble, to make us vulnerable, to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God. Let's read our text. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction, with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. If we're afflicted, it's for your comfort and salvation. And if we're comforted, it's for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia, for we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. But that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and He will deliver us. On Him we have set our hope that He will deliver us again. You also must help us by prayer, so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, by the power of your Holy Spirit, through your word, speak to us in our need this morning. Many needs, many things, but one Savior, our Lord Jesus. And it is in His name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, we've been talking about this for several weeks now, and Paul was in a situation where it was so bad that he felt like he despaired of life itself. And it wasn't just that he thought, I'm going to die. He mentions that here in verse 9. He was feeling like, I wanted to die. I can't go on like this. And I'm sure as the months may drag on, maybe it'll be just by the end of next month or this month or soon. One day we'll have a great big hug fest, hopefully, when we all get back together again. But for now, we're separated. And again, the church is standing empty. Yet the church itself is standing united for Jesus. And here Paul tells us things that are meant not just to relay his purpose, to show that he is a true disciple and a true apostle over and above those that said since he suffered, he must not have faith. These super apostles, he calls it later in the letter. This is also for us today. It is a 21st century message. A first century message, excuse me, for 21st century Christians. For all, no matter how long it goes, this message resonates. And so, in this particular situation, Paul was crushed beyond his belief. He couldn't do anything about it. He had nothing to do, and he thought, you know what, I'm going to die. He says, indeed, we felt, that's an important word there, that we had received the sentence of death. This sentence of death is not that he had received a sentence from a court of law or some judicial authority said, you are going to die. Now, he received things like that, and he would at the end of his life when he was killed, martyred. But if you look at verse 9 there, we felt. It was something, not that a court of law had imposed on him, but something he felt on the inside of himself. He passed the death sentence on himself. But his race wasn't over yet. This is the way that he felt, but he wasn't right. He didn't know what was going on. Now, by the time he wrote his last letter in 2 Timothy, Paul knew that his time on earth was done. By that time, it was years later. And there he said in 2 Timothy 4, 6, and 7, the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. But with this episode, he's relaying to us for our good. In 2 Corinthians, he was thinking he was going to die before his work was finished. But let me tell you something. What Paul learned here and what we must learn is that until your lesson on earth is done, nothing can stop you from fulfilling the call that God has on your life. Sometimes that's to show His grace and His mercy and His power and His deliverance and your humility and your vulnerability and your trust through suffering. It's hard. But it's good. God is good all the time. And he was sitting here going, we were so utterly depressed, crushed, that we were beyond our strength and we despaired of life itself. And we felt like we had the sentence of death. And then he realized why God was allowing this depth of despair. It was so that he had nothing left to cling to but God alone. Only then was the example be made complete, and that's the example he's giving to us here. And he says, but that was to make us rely not on ourselves. Paul came to realize why he was put in this situation, why he was in this position, why he was pressured, he was crushed, why he felt this way. It's so he could learn not to put his trust in himself. Now you might be saying, well, this is the Apostle Paul. He trusted in God. Yes, he did. He had been in many severe situations before and after this. And he learned to trust in God. And you may be trusting in God fully for yourself, but there may be other things going on here. Let's continue. Here he was, having to be taught again that he shouldn't trust in himself, but trust in the Lord. What was missing? Let me say this. None of us, not you, not me, not the apostle, none of us, no matter how long we've been a believer, no matter how well we steward the gifts that God has given us, no matter how many resources we have, no matter how much we could spread it out to our children and our grandchildren, no matter how much influence and success we have, no matter how holy our manner of living, hear me there, it doesn't exempt us. Not even an apostle. No Christian is exempt from the suffering that is designed to keep you humble. Why does God allow you to suffer? To keep you humble. God's purpose is not just get you to trust Him, but to get you not to trust in yourself. Not just to trust Him, but not trust in yourself. I am trusting God, but there's that little sliver that's still not fully trusting in Him. And God wants it out. He teaches humility. He creates humility because He crushes autonomy through extremity. You catch that? Through extreme situations, He crushes you. It's His crushing mercy to get you to look to your true source and to smash out the autonomy. Boy, we're having to learn, in one sense, while we're all in our own homes, a lot of autonomy. And yet we are also learning this unity and what the body of Christ really is. And even in the greater world, you see a lot of bad being brought from this and a lot of good being brought from this. But God wants to speak to you about you. And it may happen in ways you don't realize, because you would think the Apostle Paul knew for sure. And yet his example needed to be made so that he could write this book of 2 Corinthians and so that we could read it 2,000 years later. God teaches humility. He crushes autonomy by the use of extremity. Why does God let you suffer? To bring you to the end of yourself and your pride so that you will look elsewhere. And you have to keep learning the lesson. You think Paul hadn't learned this lesson? He'd been stoned, he'd been left for dead, all these other things. He recounts it all and more in 2 Corinthians 11. But he still had to learn it. You have to keep learning it. We always have to keep learning it. George Hutchison said this, "We are indeed very sparing of ourselves in trouble and do soon begin to think that we are low and tried enough and therefore we will be delivered. But our wise Lord seeth that we need more." He says, we felt we had the sentence of death, but that was to make us not rely on ourselves. Rely not on ourselves, but on God. But on God. Now, I need to speak to this because people think it means one thing to have faith in God, but being faith doesn't mean being a fool. Let me get to that in a moment. To decrease in self-reliance and to increase in God-reliance, that's the lesson that all Christians are always involved in one way or the other. Why does God let you suffer? To make sure you can't depend on you so that you'll depend on Him. To make sure you can't depend on you so that you'll have to depend on Him. Dependence on God is your real strength. Listen to what Paul says in the same letter. In 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10, God said to him, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." So Paul said back, "Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly in my weaknesses, so the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Relying on God and not on yourself. Doesn't mean God doesn't want you to use the means at your disposal. Right? Relying on God is not a license to be lazy. I'm just trusting in God. Right? All the provisions are coming to you. You know the old story about the man who is in a flood and his house is coming up to his ankles and someone comes by on a bike and says, you know, I know you have no way out of here. Let's get out. He goes, I'm trusting in God. Then the floodwaters get up to his knees and a car comes by and says, you need to come on. This flood's gonna kill you. You got to do it. I'm trusting in God. Then the flood gets all the way up to his chest. And a boat comes and says, come on, you're going to die. He goes, no, I'm trusting in God. Well, then the waters get all the way up above his head and he's on the roof. And a helicopter comes and lets down a net and says, come on, this is your last chance. You need to be saved. He goes, I am saved. I'm trusting in God. Well, he dies. He drowns. And he's up in heaven and he asks Jesus, he says, why? Why did I die? I was trusting in you. He goes, I sent you a bike and a car and a boat and a helicopter. What more did you want? You see, we have our little masks here and we have our spray and all of that, and we're safe distance. You know, we got four people in here today. Four. And many more online, I'm sure, and I trust. But God wants you to make an effort. He wants you to be disciplined and to be a good steward of your resources. Depending on God doesn't exempt you from time and commitment to your responsibilities. This isn't a free month off where you forget God and forget everybody else. No. So relying on God is not a license to be lazy. And relying on God is not a reason to be reckless. Faith is not about carelessly, deliberately, or unnecessarily putting yourself in harm's way. Oh, you know, I'm not going to die if I walk in the traffic because it's not my time. Well, guess what, buddy? It is your time. Right? Faith is not a reason to be reckless. You're not decreeing and declaring the thing gone and all that. That's not your... God's the one that brought this. Oh, yes. Now you tuned out, didn't you? You're going to write me a letter. I can't believe you said that. Listen to what God says in His Word. If it's out of His control, wow, then it's really bad, but it's not. Paul said, I'm in this situation. I'm beyond my strength. I despaired of life itself. I felt like I wanted to die, and I passed the death sentence on myself. And then I realized, why is God doing this? To give an example to other people, to make me rely not on myself, not on the Apostle Paul, not on him being some superhero, but that he's zero without God, to make himself rely on God. And that's what we need to do, but it's not lazy and it's not reckless. Don't put yourself in harm's way on purpose and call that faith. Make the proper preparations. Take the proper precautions. Don't act like a fool and call it faith. Can I say that 100 times over? Don't act like a fool and call it faith. Relying on God is not a reason to be reckless or a license to be lazy. What does relying on God mean? It means dying to self-trust and more fully trusting God. You're telling your troubles to God. You're praising Him for who He is. You're saying fully, not hiding something behind your back and waiting until you're just all good. Look at the Psalms. Look at how many places in the Scripture Paul says here, I am beyond myself. Pour out your pain. You're telling God your trouble fully. And in that, you become God-aware and self-aware. And then you're praising God for who He is. And then you're asking God to help you as you depend on Him as your real hope. You know, wherever you are today, whenever you hear this, you might feel like you're definitely going to die. And you just might. And eventually, we all will. But even if and even when I do die, I am still in the loving hand of God. Rely on God, not on yourself. During the season, I pray that you're learning that, and I pray that more and more of us are doing that. But you know what? I want to dig down deeper into this text, into this truth. I want you to really learn something more today that maybe you weren't expecting to learn. Because maybe you're good with you, but then there's all this other fear and anxiety about out there. Because you can be fully depending on God as the source of your comfort and your deliverance, your spiritual strength, your intestinal fortitude, God giving you the guts to be able to hang on and hold on and endure and actually enjoy Him through this suffering season. Trusting in Him, not in yourself. But you may not be relying on God when it comes to others. Parents, grandparents, loved ones, hear me. You see, you can be thinking, yes, I know that God is with me. I trust that I'm in God's care, even if it means death. Amen. But then you start thinking, but what about them? Whoever the them is. Job had to learn that. God had his children gone first. And he says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. But he was also saying, though he slay people I love, I will trust him. It's a hard lesson, but it's a necessary lesson. Because some of us just get so worked up and we're tender and sensitive and loving souls, and we think, I want to, and hear me. You're letting God be God for you, but you aren't letting God be God for them. And you have to keep reminding yourself that even if I'm not here, the Lord will be with them too. Even if God were to take me home and away from them, away from my little grandbabies, away from everybody, I'll be leaving my loved ones in the most capable hands of the universe, which are God's. You have to trust yourself in God's hands, and you have to trust your loved ones in God's hands too. Do you hear me there? In times like these, when God allows you to be limited in what you can do, you don't have any other choice, really. And really now, it's always that way. And times of crisis can be God's way of reminding you that you're not the Messiah, and you can't be. But you are His agent. And you are on His mission. And you know what that mission is when you're in suffering? That mission is to tell people about Jesus and to model a faithful trust in your Lord for your own life and your own soul. And also to model a faithful trust in the Lord for the lives and souls of your loved ones. Rely on God, as Paul says, who raises the dead. On God, who raises the dead. I'm just so thankful to the Lord that we happened to start 2 Corinthians in our Wednesday night study, and we decided we were going to bring it into our Sunday morning study, and we've caught up now. We're not doing Wednesdays. This is where we would be. And it happens to be right here on Palm Sunday when it looks like victory, and then to people it looked like defeat for the Lord. And yet it was the plan. It was victory because God raises the dead. And you know, many people have a great confidence in their own abilities in life. But no one, there's no one on earth, there's no one that's ever been on earth, there is no one that will be able to doubt and deny what I'm about to say. No one can be confident in their own ability when it comes to death. You can't rely on yourself, and you are trusting in something. Even if you think that this life is all that there is, you're trusting in that. All of us, including you, are trusting in something about what happens after you die. Of course, there's only three or four people besides me in here. Three, I can count. And we all know that. No one's going to deny that, but you can't either. Everybody's trusting in something. But Christians do know what will happen to them. They can be supremely confident in that because Jesus rose from the dead. And as 1 Corinthians 6:14 says, God raised the Lord and will also raise us up by His power. As 2 Corinthians 4:14 says, He who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into His presence. Yay! But what about now? Well, a lot about now. Even though the resurrection of all believers in Jesus to eternal life is a future event, the reality and power of that is not just some future hope. It's for this life as well. To be felt by the suffering Christian. Yes, to be felt by the suffering Christian. You see, Paul felt the sentence of death, but then he felt the power of eternal life. Do you see that in the text? He says, we felt like we had received the sentence of death. Indeed. But that was to make us not rely on ourselves, our situation, what we see, but on God who raises the dead. Now, how can he be lifted out of that situation? How can he attempt to lift us up through the power of the written word, through the Holy Spirit, for the name of Jesus and God's glory? How could he do that unless he felt it? Yes. Again, Paul felt the sentence of death, but then he felt the power of eternal life. I hope and pray you feel it today. In the depths of his most extreme experience, Paul found his supreme confidence in God. He was already confident. He was already going to be a martyr. He already knew what was going to happen. He had other things to learn. At the end of his life, he says, I ran the race. I finished the faith. I've kept the faith. All of these things. But here, he was fully at the bottom of the well and said, that's where I found God. Why does God let you suffer? God allows you to be vulnerable so that you can know and so others can see where your true strength lies. It's the ultimate power of God that you trust in. Do you? I do. Amen. You know, we talk about the Trinity and we talk about, you know, the resurrection and the cross and all of these things. And some of these things seem esoteric or dry, and they're not. But I'll tell you something. Extreme experiences turn academic doctrines into living examples. Paul wasn't just saying, and I'm trusting in God that raised the dead, and one day, no. He felt it. Get that. Feel it. He felt the sentence of death. He had already said, I despair of life. He wanted to die. He passed the death sentence on himself, and then he felt the power of the resurrection. Yes, that's what we need today. We need to stand up and tell the world that we have victory over the virus. The only real virus is sin in the world. And Jesus has overcome sin, death, and hell for you and for me. I'm no longer afraid of death. And I'm no longer afraid of life. J.I. Packer said this, dying well is one of the good works to which Christians are called to. And Christ will enable us who serve him to die well, however gruesome the physical process itself. Just because you're being crushed, you could be being martyred, you could be being shot, you could be being filleted alive. There could be any amount you could be put on the cross. And Jesus is still with you and for you and will bring you all the way into his presence. And you can be an example. Don't just die well, live well. Know the power of the resurrection in your life. You see, you don't have to be afraid of dying from the coronavirus. And you don't have to be afraid of dying from anything else. Why? Because Jesus died and rose from the dead. And he changed our wonder and our worry about death into a doorway of hope and happiness. Yes. Think about that. I will eternally be with him. My strength isn't found in myself. I'm not relying on myself, but on God who raises the dead. Even if I die, I live. And even while I live, I die to me, to live to him. You know, times like these remind me, and I hope they remind you, I know they do, that there's many things that I can't control, many things that are stronger than me, but God is stronger than all of them. He's in control, complete control, and he'll make everything turn out for my good. Even that one thing that's totally out of everyone's control, no matter how much money, no matter how much intelligence, no matter how much looks, no matter how much success, no matter how much influence, no matter whatever else they could do, they could be like some of the superheroes and they still have to face death. No one controls that. Even that one thing that's stronger than anyone, death, God will make that work to your good. Amen? You transcend that. You should be transformed by that. Christians are in the hands of a loving God. So be brave. But let me tell you something. Don't be brave because you're strong. That's just pride. I'm glad one of the things, of all this terrible stuff that's going on with it, one of the beautiful things is that it's helping us not to rely on ourselves, that is sapping us of our strength so that we will find our strength in God. Christian, that's you. Be brave, but not because you're strong or you've got enough toilet paper to give everybody. Be brave because you're humble, you're vulnerable, and yet you can fully be confident because you're fully dependent on the strongest thing in the universe, and that is Jesus. Do you hear God's voice today? Have you come to the end of your rope and found that as you're falling, God's hand is there? If so, you can email us. You can leave something on the live broadcast. You can find our Facebook page, voiceofvision.org, just with God. You don't have to tell me, but it would be nice to hear from you. Maybe you've been strengthened today. Maybe you're one of those who, like me, don't really worry about ourselves, but worry about those in our care. And we need to give them to the care of God. Yes, we do what we can, but there's only so much we can do and many things we cannot do, no matter how hard we tried, no matter how good the situation was, but also no matter how bad the situation is. Cast your cares on Him, for He cares for you. That includes the cares you have for other people. So hug them through the window, send them the text, do the FaceTime, do all of these things. But let God be God. Father, thank you for being our Father. Thank you for the Holy Spirit making us feel that power of eternal life and that victory over sin, death, and hell. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for living that perfect life and dying that sacrifice in our place. Oh, our triune God, make it so that people would hear this and believe. For your glory and in your name we pray. Amen. God bless you, my beloved. Take care.